Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we've heard in thy house moments ago that thou wilt persevere with thy people and bring them to the desired haven. And now, as we look for a second time at how thou didst do that in the life of John Bunyan, and at the lessons that Bunyan's life leaves behind for us, may this persevering grace humble us, encourage us, even overwhelm us with thy goodness, and that we would be among the children of men that would praise thee, from whom all blessings flow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last time, which was 4 weeks ago, may I just refresh your memory, we looked at Bunyan's rebellious youth, and then as a convicted sinner, and also his conversion, his justification before God, and we looked at various lessons that we can learn from these things. So on the outline I just handed out, we're on number 3 now, having looked at numbers 1 and 2. Today we hope to look at 3, 4, and perhaps 5, and then 2 weeks from now, 6 and 7. So Bunyan is now converted, and the third section we want to talk about is his first steps as a preacher and as a writer. The year 1654 was a momentous one for Bunyan. He arrived at Bedford with his wife and 4 children, all under the age of 6, one of whom, his firstborn, Mary, was blind from birth. So she had a number of special needs. But that same year, Bunyan's conversion was so remarkable and so palpable, so tangible, so visible, that that very same year he was already appointed as a deacon in the Bedford Church. And his testimony had become the talk of the town. It helped lead several people to conversion. And by the end of that year, however, Bunyan lost his beloved pastor to death. John Gifford had meant so much to him in the few years that Bunyan could sit under him. He was a faithful pastor. And so Bunyan was then asked to begin to start filling the pulpit, to start preaching. And as far as I know, and I could be wrong on this, but I don't know of any other Puritan preacher that didn't have any theological training. Bunyan, I think, is just about the only one. I always say to our theological students, about once a century, God has a really, really outstanding preacher come along who didn't have theological training. 99.9% of the time, the great preachers of the ages past had a wonderful theological training. 20th century was Lloyd Jones, 19th century was Spurgeon, 17th century was John Bunyan. So Bunyan just began preaching because people just asked him to, and he couldn't hold back. The love of God was so strong. So he started preaching in different churches around Bedford. Hundreds came to hear him, and he was overwhelmed and surprised. He couldn't understand it. But there was something about the authenticity of what God had done in his life and the conviction with which he preached that made it something that people just longed to hear. Bunyan was always one of those preachers, and that's a real gift. I wish I had it. But he was one of those preachers, you wanted to hear the next sentence. You just wanted to hear what he was going to say. And that's just a tremendous gift. The next year, as he began to preach, he already published his first book, which is amazing because he wasn't that educated, but he was self-taught, should I say spirit-taught, and he wrote a book called Some Gospel Truths Opened. The first of 60-some books that he would publish in his short lifetime. And this book was written to protect believers from being misled by Quaker teachings about the person and the work of Jesus. 2 years later, he wrote a book that became much more well-known, actually a book that kind of catapulted him into recognition among the Puritans and as a writer, called A Few Sighs from Hell. It's on the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. And this book attacks the professional clergy and people who promote carnality. Bunyan wants people to consider the seriousness of life in this book and that nominal Christianity will never get us to heaven. That book sold very well, and the demand for Bunyan's writings just arose almost like overnight. About that same time, his first wife, oddly, we don't even know her name, passed away, leaving him 4 young children as a widower. Then, 2 years after that, Bunyan publishes another well-known book, The Doctrine of the Law and Grace Unfolded. And remarkably, this book unpacks his views on covenant theology. No easy subject. But Bunyan has meditated a great deal on this. He's read a lot. And he writes this book that talks about the dichotomy between law and grace, but also how grace brings us back to law to live the Christian life. Richard Baxter thought it was too focused on grace only and called Bunyan an antinomian. But Richard Baxter had some very squeamish, unbiblical views about justification by faith. It's one of his great errors. So I'm siding with Bunyan in this debate, not Baxter. The following year, 1660, while preaching in a farmhouse, Bunyan is arrested. He's arrested under the new Act of Uniformity, requiring attendance upon Church of England services and the ministry of the Church of England. And so he's going against the law by preaching in a farmhouse. He gets arrested, and they tell him right away that if he agrees to no longer preach, they would free him. But he simply answers them, if I'm free today, I'll be preaching tomorrow. So they take him away to jail, where he's going to stay writing books and making shoelaces to make a few pennies for his needy family for 12 years. Bunyan stays longer in prison than any other Puritan. I estimate, after a lifetime of studying the Puritans' lives, that probably between 50 and 60% of the Puritans were in prison at some time in their life for preaching. Maybe 60 to 70%. But many of them were just in prison for a couple months, maybe a year. A couple years was pretty long. Bunyan was 12 years, by far the longest of any of them. So what lesson do we learn from this stage of his life? Lesson number three, that perseverance involves a willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ. Jesus says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And the word endure, in its original meaning, perhaps you know this, means to go all the way to the finish line, to run the race, as we just read from Hebrews 12, all the way to the end, looking to Jesus, despite all the hardships, the kind of hardships we heard about this morning in the sermon. And so Bunyan would later say, it is an easy matter for a man to run hard for a spurt, I guess we would say for a little sprint, for a furlong was 1/8 of a mile, or even perhaps for a mile or two. Oh, but to hold out for 100, for 1,000, for 10,000 miles, that man that doth this, he must look to meet with cross, with pain, with wearisomeness to the flesh, especially if, as he goes, he meets with briars and quagmires and other encumbrances that make his journey so much the more painful. Well, if you know Bunyan's life, you can just feel every word of this long run-on sentence here. It's just hammered out on the anvil of his own experience. In Acts 14:22, we read of Paul and Barnabas that they visited their latest converts, quote, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, end quote. You see, that's what Bunyan experienced, and that's what every believer to one degree or another experiences. And Bunyan conveys that perhaps most powerfully in Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian is always facing challenges. And will he be able to pass by the lions? How will he get out of the house of the interpreter onward in his journey? And how will he handle the cross of losing the scroll? And it's always, how will he get out of Doubting Castle? Persevere through suffering, looking to Jesus. We must endure all things, Bunyan writes, for the sake of the King of the Celestial City. For the sake of the King of the Celestial City. Again, confirming what we heard this morning. All right, section 4. Bunyan's experience of outward injustice. I think the outline says justice. It should say injustice. Outward injustice and inward pain. Just prior to his arrest, Bunyan married again, this time to a young woman named Elizabeth, a very godly young woman. And Elizabeth pleaded repeatedly for Bunyan's release from prison, but judges, even such as Sir Matthew Hale, who wasn't an irreligious man, but felt he had to obey the authorities of the Church of England and the Queen and the King, and Thomas Twiston, rejected all her pleas. But wow, was she ever given help when she came before these judges? It's amazing. She was perhaps 19 at the time, maybe 20, and she was pregnant with the first child she was having with John Bunyan. And when she hears about his arrest, she was so overwhelmed that she went into premature labor and lost the baby. And yet she went to the judges with boldness. One justice told her that Bunyan is a pestilent fellow. Another said, will your husband leave off preaching? If he will do so, then I will send for him and release him. And Elizabeth responded, my Lord, he dares not leave off preaching as long as he can speak. His accusers then said, he's a breaker of the peace. He needs to be jailed. But Elizabeth said, my husband only wants to live peacefully, pursue his calling, and provide for his family of four small children, one of whom is blind. The judge says, well, what is his calling? She said, a tinker, meaning a worker who mended pots and pans and other metal household objects. And so the judge said, well, if he's a tinker, he should stop preaching. And then another judge said, as she stood quiet, he will preach and do whatever he wants, and therefore we must keep him incarcerated. Elizabeth's response, sir, he preaches nothing but the word of God. At that point, one of the judges became so angry that Elizabeth feared he would hit her. He said, Bunyan preaches the doctrine of devils. And she looked right back at him and in a quiet voice said, my Lord, when the righteous judge shall appear, it will be known that his doctrine is not the doctrine of the devil. Bunyan's most famous biographer, John Brown, comments at this point, Elizabeth Bunyan was simply an English peasant woman. Could she have spoken with more dignity had she been a crowned queen? Well, Bunyan remained in prison without any formal charge, without a legal sentence, which was against the law. But he continued steadfastly to refuse to give up preaching the gospel. And he would not promise to attend worship in the local parish church, which he felt had abandoned the truth. Now, interestingly, in 1661, and again for 4 years, or 5 years, 1668 to 1672, so for six of those years, about half the time he was in prison, Bunyan had a jailer, two different jailers, who so believed that he was a man of God that at a risk of their own lives and their own jobs, they would let him go out of prison at night. And often the authorities would come to make sure Bunyan was in prison. But the jailer, especially in the last 5 years, said, Bunyan, I've learned that whenever you go out to preach late at night, the authorities will never come because God is protecting you. So what Bunyan would do, with the jailer's permission, he would go out late at night, sometimes 10 in the evening, and there'd be people in a barn somewhere, or people out in the field somewhere, and he'd preach, and he'd come back in to the jail and sleep for the night. And he never got caught the whole time. And the jailers said sometimes the authorities came just before he left and just after he got back. But they never caught him in the act of preaching. They heard rumors, so they kept coming and checking out, but God just protected him. Another biographer, George Ofer, who wrote a very good biography of Bunyan as well, said, it was said of many Baptist congregations in the area of Bedfordshire that they owe their origins prior to their organization to the midnight preaching of John Bunyan. So even while he was in prison, many of those years, God blessed his preaching. But it doesn't mean the prison years were easy. Bunyan experienced what his characters, Christian and Faithful, in Pilgrim's Progress, would later suffer at the hands of giant despair. You remember what happens to them? Bunyan says in Pilgrim's Progress that giant despair thrust the pilgrims into a very dark dungeon, nasty and stinking. Now, if you remember that the Christian part of Pilgrim's Progress is simply Bunyan's own autobiography. You see, Bunyan's saying, that's me, thrown into the dark dungeon, nasty and stinking. But as uncomely as the circumstances of the prison was, By far, Bunyan's greatest burden was being separated from his wife and his children. And particularly, he writes about being separated from blind Mary. That bothered him so much. He said, being in jail was for him often, this is how he described it, a pulling of the very flesh from my bones. It just was such agony for him that he couldn't be with his family. And of course, if he just agreed not to preach, he could be released immediately. But you see, the calling was upon him that he'd rather die, he'd rather be in jail all his life, he'd rather even be separated from his family, as hard as that was, than deny the calling of God to preach the gospel. So lesson number four, perseverance does not preclude times of doubt and depression. Bunyan had times in prison where, even though he never doubted his call to preach and never debated whether he should give up preaching, but he had lots of doubts about God's desertion, sometimes doubts about the dark night of the soul in him. It was miserable. It wasn't easy. He was like that ship, reeling to and fro many a time. And so we don't need to be foolishly optimistic about the Christian life when great trials come upon us. It doesn't mean that there won't be challenges. There won't be times of discouragement and doubt. Bunyan said, I was once above all the rest in a very sad and low condition for many weeks on end, sometimes lasting for months at a time. For indeed, at that time, all the things of God were hidden from my soul. It's possible that a believer, also a believer, can become so spiritually despondent. The old Puritans called it a melancholy. When they can't lay hold of God and their ships are reeling and they cry out but seem to get no answer. And that's what Bunyan was going through, you see. And during those times, he had this struggle that he kept dreaming and thinking that the authorities were going to execute him to death and that he'd die by hanging or some other violent means. And even at points, despite all his experience, he wondered, is God somehow against me? And will I really go to, even though he had assurance of faith, will I really go to heaven in the end? And other times, his heart just broke for his children, so that he feared they'd become destitute beggars because of his imprisonment. And so those times he'd work really hard on making shoelaces to earn a few more pennies to try to keep them with some means. Now, in his Pilgrim's Progress, again, remember it's his autobiography, Bunyan paints the most vivid picture of what it means to persevere in the midst of hard times, doubt, and even depression. His image is of a fire, you recall this, burning against a wall. And a man was pouring water on the fire, showing how the devil tries to extinguish the work of grace that God produces in the heart. But the fire kept burning. You remember that. And Bunyan is amazed. How does a fire keep burning? In fact, the fire grew hotter. And so all of Satan's efforts to put out the fire with water were futile. And then Bunyan tells us, perhaps you recall that, that hidden behind the wall, the pilgrim could catch glances of another man who was pouring something on the fire. Not water, but oil. Oil on the fire. And of course, in Bunyan's mind, that was Jesus. as Satan tries to put out the fire through all the persecutions and all the trials of life, Jesus is standing behind the wall, behind our sight, Bunyan is saying. Sometimes we're not even aware of it, but somehow he keeps pouring oil on the fire so that we keep persevering. Bunyan writes that the man remained hidden to show that it is hard for the tempted to see how this work of grace is maintained in the soul. So Bunyan is very realistic here about the sorrows and trials of the Christian life. When you're in deep trouble, deep sorrow, when your ship is being shaken back and forth and you're reeling like a drunken man, it's hard to see Jesus maintaining his own grace in your soul. In the darkness of depression, sometimes we cannot sense God's presence. And yet he's there. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying with the man with the oil. He's there. He's poured in oil. He's promising never to leave us, never to forsake us. Now, this is a powerful picture. Another biographer of Bunyan, a guy named Robert Ritchie, says, Bunyan not only captured the doctrine of perseverance in 200 words in this metaphor, just 200 words, but did so in a way that emphasized the sustaining grace of God like perhaps no other picture ever written. And then Ritchie concludes, this all shows us that grace was the motif of Bunyan's heart. Grace was the motif of Bunyan's heart. You see, perseverance does not mean that believers march triumphantly through life like heroes in a victory parade. But it means that we battle our way as we persevere through temptations, trials, sometimes deep discouragements, all the while discovering the truth of God's promise that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in thy weakness. That's how we persevere. All right, number six, Bunyan's productivity behind bars. Bunyan's years in prison were difficult, I said, but they were also productive. He had a Bible, he had Fox's Book of Martyrs at his side, and that was it. And without any other books, he wrote, in between the shoelaces, a whole variety of books while in prison. That's how he busied himself. He wrote a book called I Will Pray with the Spirit on Prayer, a beautiful 100-page book still worthy to be read today. He wrote Profitable Meditations. He wrote One Thing Needful. He wrote The Holy City. He wrote The Resurrection of the Dead. And then in 1666, he actually wrote not in allegorical form, but in actual lifestyle, life story form, his autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. And perhaps that autobiography and Augustine's Confessions may be the two most popular autobiographies ever written by genuine Christians. This is an amazing, amazing autobiography. If you've never read Grace Abounding, you've got to do it. And then he also wrote a book, A Confession of My Faith, and he wrote a book, A Defense of the Doctrine of Justification, in those years. So lesson number five, perseverance requires being active in the service of the Lord. This is a fascinating point. You see, Bunyan is cast down many times. He's overwhelmed. He's grieving. He says, you can pull the flesh off my bones, but he keeps working. And he finds in his work, in his writing, a closeness with God. And God's benediction upon that writing so that the writing itself becomes a means of his perseverance. So Bunyan has what I think every good writer or every prolific writer has. Christian writer, you feel closest to God when you write. So in a sense, you're a compulsive writer. You cannot not write, even if you want to get published, because it's a means for your own spiritual strengthening in your own perseverance. Now, many believers have that in ages past in the form of journaling. They have a journal, usually their own experiences. But writers who write for publication have the same thing, that God often uses writing to help them persevere. Now, God may have wired you differently, and maybe there's another spiritual discipline that helps you persevere. Whatever spiritual discipline helps you persevere, whether it's listening to sermons, whether it's reading books, whether it's fellowshipping with God's people, when you are down, when you are discouraged, you should capitalize on that spiritual discipline, or two of them, or three of them, whatever ones God uses most in your life. Specialize in them, engage in them, so that you might persevere in the grace of God. That's how Bunyan kept his soul from utter despair. He just poured out his heart in writing, in glorifying God. He fulfilled, really, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, we'll look at 6 and 7 next time. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank thee so much for thy mercy shown to John Bunyan in enabling him to persevere in the midst of great odds, great trials, great struggles. And help him to be a mentor in that for us, to persevere, looking to Jesus, running the race, even though the circumstances around us have not changed. Help us to use those spiritual disciplines that may encourage us to run the race all the way to the end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.